Well, we have a good, really good number of people that are here today, and I know that among you there are a number of visitors. We're glad to have you, and I hope that you can locate a visitor's card. It should be just in front of you. And fill that out for us. We'd love to have a record of you being here. But more than anything, welcome, and I hope we make you feel welcome. I hope you'll want to come back and be with us a lot of times in the future if you have that opportunity. But if you have any questions about anything or you want to ask us about anything, please feel free. We're glad to do that. But glad you're here. Time to get up. It's good to see everybody. I've got a couple of serious announcements that need to be made, and then we're going to get right into the lesson. First of all, Marlene, as of yesterday, was planning to try to be here. Unfortunately, she's at home. She's still having some symptoms, Bob said, from the stroke. She's experiencing some of that. Ed is, of course, with her, and she may have to go back to the hospital today because of that. So, just please remember her in your prayers, and hopefully with medication and so forth, they will get all of that under control, and we'll look forward to having her back with us here. But please remember her and the family in your prayers. Glad that Ellen is doing well and Mary is doing well, and she's here with us today. But, of course, this family, they've had a lot of trouble over the last couple of weeks, so let's just remember them. And also, a day I've been dreading for a couple of years, no, I won't say it. But Juliet is actually, after services today, going to be leaving for a couple of weeks, a little over a couple of weeks, for Asia. And she'd like for you to please remember her in your prayers. I'm sure it's going to be a wonderful experience. She's looking forward to being in that part of the world. She'll meet brethren in exotic places, and that'll be an experience that I kind of envy her about, but nonetheless, please keep her in your prayers. And if you're feeling really gracious, you might remember Montel and me because we don't know what we're going to do the next couple of weeks. But anyway, no, please do keep her in your prayers, though. We would definitely appreciate that. Without any further delay, we do begin a new year today. And in many respects, you notice that Kenny read the passage from James 1, and that was a passage we emphasized so much last year. And in many respects, this is an extension of last year's theme. Although, won't go back and re-preach those lessons, and the content of the messages will be completely different. Still, the idea, as Edward said, the idea of being able to look into the mirror and see what I should be and fulfill my purpose, that's what we're really going to talk about, the idea of taking my place. I am going to emphasize, Wes and I are going to emphasize some different things throughout the year as we did last year. One of the things that I'm going to emphasize quite a bit throughout the year, and Wes will too, is the idea of defining, seeking, defining, learning, etc., what is your treasure? Now, I'm not going to get so much into that this morning, not deeply, but the idea of what I care so much about, where my treasure is, there my heart will be also. That's what Jesus said. I'll use this verse quite a bit. This is our theme verse. We'll both use this in our lessons from Luke chapter 12 and verse 34. Now you might say, the verse doesn't say anything about purpose. Well, that's right. And yet, once you know where your heart is, once you have something that you value so much as a treasure in life, it becomes a purpose. And we'll talk a lot about that. But as we get into looking at the theme for this year, which is, of course, fulfilling my purpose, we're going to devote a lot of public teaching, considerable amount of public teaching, to four general areas of life. And each of these, we'll do one of these per quarter. And the idea of each of these is for, and let's just say it this way, our goal as an individual, my goal as an individual, will be to focus my attention on my place in life, respecting these areas. So when we look at these four areas, and the first quarter we'll be talking about the church. What is my purpose when it comes to the church? And we talk about the church in general, but we also talk about this congregation, this church here at East Orange. I am a part of this church. I am a member of this church. What is my purpose here? Why has God, through various circumstances, brought me here? And I'll emphasize a good bit of that. The idea, I believe that very much. I'm here because God wants me to be here. So if I am, what role do I fill? What is my place? What do I bring to the table? Those are questions we'll look at. We'll also look at them with respect to three other areas of life. Let's start with a more basic question. Who am I? I don't know if you spent time during the last year. I hope you did. When you're looking at the man in the mirror and you're thinking about your own life, etc., if you really stop to ask yourself this question, if you haven't, you should. Who am I? That's a complicated question in many respects. Not just the person that you see me be. Chances are great some of you think of Michael White. Michael White is only that guy that stands in the pulpit a lot of Sundays and preaches. But I'm far more than that. If you are my wife or my daughter, you see me every day virtually, and you think in totally different terms of who I am. Yes, I'm the preacher, but that probably isn't what comes to your mind first. So, who am I? When I begin to explore that, and all of us, when we begin to think about that, we are many things to many people. So when we start looking at that, we need to ask a basic question. Who am I? But also, what will I do with my life? That's an important question. And it's a question that needs to be answered all along the way. We might say, especially when you're young, and that's the way we think, what am I going to do with my life? What profession am I going in? Am I going to get an education? All of those kinds of things. But it goes way beyond that. So who am I and what will I do with my life? I want to suggest to you that those questions are going to invariably be answered. I mean, whether I like it or not. The question will be answered of who I am. I will become somebody, is the idea. I will be the only Michael White that will walk the face of this earth. Meaning, I'll be the only me that will. It's going to be answered. And you know, the truth is, each of us in our life finds our place. Or if you'll notice how I put it in the parentheses, we either find it, meaning we go looking for it, we discover it, we seek it, or we settle into it. If we just kind of go with the flow, so to speak, and let it happen, you know, we'll settle into being a particular person, living a particular way. And a lot of times we create bad habits like we were talking about last year, and those habits envelop our life, and that's who we become. So the idea of who am I and what will I do with my life is answered, but I want to have more, I want to take more charge of that. I want to be more positive, more directed in my life so that I choose the person I am. As Paul said, I am what I am. But why are you that, Paul? What made you what you are in his midlife as he wrote 1 Corinthians 15? How did you get to where you are? Those are the kinds of questions we each need to ask ourselves. I'd like for you to turn with me to a very important passage in Ecclesiastes. You know this passage. It is how Solomon closes out the book. But I want us to really think about these two verses. Solomon concludes this book, a very introspective book in many sense, which he looks at himself, where he asks questions like, who am I and what will I do with my life? He closes out the book by saying in verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Let me just draw a summation to it all. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole of man. Now I know that many translations interpolate the whole duty of man. That's not what it says. All man is, all he was meant to be, all he was created to be. Regardless of anything else he does, whether he marries, as I have, and becomes a husband, whether he has a child and is a mother, or she is a mother, whatever else we become, we were created by God to fear Him and keep His commandments. Because ultimately, if you notice in verse 14, for God shall bring every work, every work. And that's why this year we're going to focus on different areas of our life, different works that we do, whether we're talking about being a member of the congregation at East Orange, or we're talking about I'm the third baseman on my team. Every work I do is going to be brought into judgment by God with every secret thing, every hidden thing, things that only I know. God will bring that into judgment. And He says, whether it's good or whether it's evil. Now that's what I'm facing. So when I'm looking at my life and I'm asking questions like, who am I? What will I do with my life? Will I fear God and keep His commandments? Because that is what I was created to do. Will I, with my life, give my life to God, as is such a popular religious phrase, give your life to Jesus. Will I do that? Or will I be selfish and give my life to me? I want, I take, whatever is good to me, I like, I don't like. What will I do with my life? Who am I really? And who am I becoming? And what will I be when I reach the end of life and God brings every work into judgment? You know, there are a number of phrases, and I was talking to a gentleman just the other day, and the reason you're about to see what I'm going to put on this slide really was sparked by something we were talking about. He was talking about his father, who's elderly, very elderly, because he's my age, and so his father is, and he's the youngest child, so his father is very elderly. And he was talking about his father has been told by the doctors, you know, he had been told you won't live through Christmas, but he did. But he knows his life is very short. And he was talking about how his father, very wisely, was happy to be gathered with his family over the holidays and just kind of looking around at his children and his grandchildren and, you know, and thinking, and I think there was even a couple of great-grandchildren. And the statement that his father made is, you know, some of them were kind of sad, last time we may get together with Dad and Grandpa and that kind of thing. And he's saying, no, I've had a good, long life. And it reminded me of statements in the Bible, and I chose just a couple, where Jesus said at one point, she has done what she could. I've heard Christians use that phrase and quote that a little bit out of context, but maybe not so much. To talk about the fact that a person reaches the end of their life and maybe they didn't accomplish everything they thought they would accomplish when they were 16 years old. You know, you're going to conquer the world when you're that age. But the truth is, with their abilities, their talents, their circumstances, etc., they did what they could. And that's a very satisfying feeling to know that I've had a good long life or I've done what I could. Or, like Paul said, I've fought a good fight. Might not have been perfect, but it was a good fight. And I finished my course. I used this passage last year in talking about what is my course. What goals do I need to set? What race do I need to run? Well, we're going to talk a lot about that this year. What does God mean? What race does He mean for me to enter? Where should I be? What should I be doing? What should I be starting? You know, the New Year's is a great time to start some things in life. What should you be starting? What role should you be playing? To be able to reach the end of your life and say, I had a good long life. I did what I could. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. And I kept the faith. Those are wonderful statements to be able to make. I hope. You know, I've said to you before, but I really mean this. If the dream scenario of my death is as an old man, I will climb up in a pulpit and I'll muster all the energy that's left and preach a sermon and feel good about it and feel good about my life. That it's been a good long life and I did what I was supposed to do and then I hope I sit down and die. And I mean that. Because I can't think of a better scenario than to do what you've given your life to do, to feel good about what you're doing and say, that's enough. I'm ready to go to the next life. The saddest thing in this world to me is when a person reaches the end of their life or at any great point in their life and this is what they have to say. I've wasted my life. Because you only have one. And God did not mean for any of us to waste it. Whatever amount of time you have, it's precious. It's valuable. We have this treasure of life in earthen vessels. God does not mean for it to be wasted. He means for us to regard life as wondrous because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And use the abilities God has given you to His glory. There are so many people in this world that selfishly live their lives. They use whatever they have, their abilities, their talents, their circumstances. All we're going to talk about all of that next week. And they use it for self, and they use it destructively, and they hurt other people with it. And when they reach some point in their life, and when they reach the end of their life, all they can say is, I wasted my life. And that's the saddest thing I think a person can feel. I don't believe there is anything more sad than that. When we talk about fulfilling our purpose, the Christian lives his life. Again, Ecclesiastes 12. He lives his life, and he knows his purpose is to live his life fearing God and keeping His commandments. It doesn't matter what you win or lose in the sense of the world and their thinking. It doesn't matter what you gain or what you sacrifice. All that is important to the Christian is, I respect God, and I fear Him, and I keep His commandments because that is my purpose. That's what I'm here for. And I know that ultimately God will take me and put me in an unbelievable place that can't be described because we can't understand it if I will just do this. But like children, God says to me as my Father, just do what I tell you and it will all work out better than you can ever imagine. And at some point I have to have a child's faith about it and say, that's my purpose. That's what I'm supposed to do. Quit trying to overthink it. Quit trying to be the person that knows everything even more than God. Just do what God says. And everything will be fine. A Christian lives his life like that. A Christian lives his life. And I want you to turn with me to Matthew 13. And I want to really look at these two very short, maybe the shortest parables that Jesus gives. But they are the parables that we're kind of jumping off of. Wes and I looked at these, and we're really jumping from this to talk about our theme this year. So look with me at Matthew 13 and verse 44, and here's the first of the two. The kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field. What is the church when we're talking about it this quarter? Well, the church is a treasure, according to Jesus. Like a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man has found, he hides it. Now, hiding here is the idea, just like you take something valuable and you put it in a safe place for safekeeping. Now, that's the idea here. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man has found, he hides it. He keeps it safe. And for joy thereof, he goes and sells all that he has and he buys that field. Again, verse 45. The kingdom of heaven, the Lord's kingdom, the church, is like unto a merchantman who is looking for treasure. He is seeking goodly pearls, and who, when he had found one pearl of great price. Now this has been applied by philosophers and politicians and the common man for all the centuries. The pearl of great price. We apply this to, you know, my wife is the pearl of great price. I looked, I sought, I found. And then we began to say, that's the one that's perfect for me. Well, Jesus compares the church. And a lot of us can well understand this. Some of you were blessed to grow up, your parents teaching you the truth and teaching you about the Lord's church. Others of us, many of us in this room, we had to find it. And we had to go looking for it. And when we found it, we knew that it was different. And I remember feeling that. Well, this is different. This is something unlike anything else. I've been to a denominational church. I've been to a second denominational church. I've been through every philosophy you can imagine. I settled upon a very flawed philosophy from the 1800s. You know, the transcendentalism of Emerson and Thoreau. And that didn't work. But this is different. And so Jesus said, when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all he had and bought it. Now, do you hear what Jesus is saying in both of these? When you find, you sell out. You sell everything. And you buy the treasure. Because it requires sacrifice. And it requires that love. That's why in the religious world, a lot of people talk about selling out for Jesus. You're going to hear me use that phrase. I think it's a great one. It's the idea of nothing I have in life is more valuable than the Lord and His kingdom. This first quarter, when we talk about the church and we talk about fulfilling my purpose, I'm going to look at the idea of it as a treasure. And it costs everything. But it's worth it. And if I don't value it to the point that I believe it deserves and costs everything, then I don't see the value in it that Jesus Himself placed upon it. And thus it'll affect me taking my place within it. Because I will see it as just maybe another part of my life. In many times I'll see it as a less important part of my life. But Jesus speaks of when you found it, you sell all you have. Let me look at one other passage. And from a very practical point of view, it's like Paul. And I want you to turn to Acts 9, though you probably know this story very well, but turn to Acts 9. And when you're thinking about the Apostle Paul and you're thinking about his conversion, you realize if there's real conversion, like there was with him, no question about it, that your purpose is changed. And I know that's true for a lot of people in this room. You had a purpose. You had goals in mind, things you were going to do with your life, etc. Somebody like me, for example. I promise you at age 16, I was not thinking to be a preacher. You know, just furthest thing from my mind. I would have laughed at anybody who would have said that. But yet, here I am. Your purpose changes. Everything in life changes. Or maybe, as I thought about this, maybe it's not so much that it changes as much as it is redirected, refocused. Because look at Paul, for example. You think about the Apostle Paul. Here is a guy that has grown up and been educated and been prepared to do exactly what he's doing. He gets the authority from the priest. He goes and he arrests Christians. He causes some of their deaths, like Stephen. He's doing exactly what he's supposed to do, and then he meets Jesus on the road. And when he meets Jesus and he understands the truth, he is still Paul. He's still the same guy with the same talents, the same abilities, and yes, even the same character. I lived in all good conscience to this day. That means when you were out there killing Stephen, you had a good conscience about it. Yes, I thought I was doing right. And God took that. All of those abilities, all of those talents, all of that character, like his zeal, his bravery, etc., he took it and it was redirected, refocused, and he became the Apostle Paul. Now that's you, if you want it. All the ability you have, all the talent you have, all the character you have, and I mean the good character you have. The kind of character that maybe stubbornly fights against the truth can be the same kind of character that will stand up for it. If you want. And like the Apostle Paul, you can use it for Jesus instead of against Him. That is the idea of fulfilling your purpose. In Acts chapter 13, and I'll just mention this, we will come to this passage many times. But this passage speaks of David, like Paul, who was a shepherd. And he had a life ahead of him, a life that he was going to live. And I'm sure he thought in those terms. I will be a shepherd. I will do this and I will do that. And God said, no, what you're going to be is king. Because you're a man after my own heart. What does that mean? It means he is a person who will do what's right. It may take him a while. You know, it may be that he gets off track, off course, and that's okay too. As long as at the end of your life, like we were talking about, you are like David and it can be said of you, he's a man after God's own heart, or verse 36, he fulfilled his purpose. He did what God intended him to do. That's my goal. That's what I want. I hope that is what you want out of your life. So what is my treasure? Have you thought about what you really value in life? What is more important to you? And be honest. You should be. If Jesus is not at the top of your list, you need to start by being honest enough to say, hey, he just ain't there. Church is not the most important thing to me. What is your treasure? Where is your heart? What is your purpose in life? That's just three different ways of asking the same question. We're going to consider four areas of life. And we're going to emphasize the idea of fulfilling our purpose. We've been saying in church. We'll also look at the home. I won't talk a lot about that this morning. But you may be a father, a mother, a husband, a wife. You may have grandparents, or aunts, or uncles, or close people to you that have become like family, we say so often, etc., etc. What is your place? What's your role? What's your purpose with respect to all of that? And what about where you work? We go to work every day, most of us, at least 4, 5, 6 times a week. It's a great part, time-wise, of our life. What's my purpose? What's my role as a Christian in my work? And recreation. We are a society of people given to recreation. I said downstairs this morning, when you can have as many people go nuts over Candy Crush as have in this, you know, we are a people given to play in this country. Well, if that's so, we need to think about it as a Christian. The amount of time we spend in our recreation, what we say and do when we engage in our pastimes, our fun, our hobbies, our games, our sports, what kind of influence we're having because of all of that, how much of that is too much, or how much of that is okay, and all those kinds of questions, what is my treasure? I mean, come on, is Candy Crush my treasure? Is that where my heart is? I have to think about that sometimes. Thursday was a hard day for me. Alabama lost. You know? But Alabama's not my treasure. I love them. I love the team. I've been a fan since I was a little kid. I don't hardly remember not being a fan. It's not where my heart is. It's not my life. It's my pastime. Where is my heart? What is my treasure? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, we beg you to think about your life. And if you're inclined to do so, we beg you to give your life to Jesus this morning. Confess your belief in Him. I know He is the Son of God. And you would say to yourself, I'm willing to change my life. I know that'll be a process, but I want to change. I want to be like Paul. Lord, whatever you want me to do. Just tell me. I'll do that. And maybe there are a lot of things in your past that are wrong, and you feel that. You feel the guilt of that. Let the blood of Jesus wash that away. Be baptized for forgiveness of your sins. Begin your life brand new, reborn in Jesus Christ. And maybe you're here this morning, and you're looking at your life, and you're saying, you know, I'm a member of the Lord's church. I'm a Christian. But I haven't really thought about the level of dedication that that takes. I don't know that that's where my heart is. I don't know how much of a treasure being part of the Lord's church is to me. But I want to change some of that. I like to ask for you to pray for me with respect to that. That's always right to do. Won't you please come? Fire over and lead us in this song.